And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight with my usual co-host, Carlos. How are you doing tonight, Carlos? On a Monday evening, we are recording on this Monday for a very special reason, but how are you doing?
I could be better. I'm coming down from the flu, which is not fun, but I certainly did not have as fun a weekend as I'm sure all of you listening did back home in Tampa, in the Tampa Bay area during this lovely Gasparilla weekend. Side note, I never really fully grasped like how well known Gasparilla is as a phenomenon in Tampa. Like people know about it. I had like friends of mine and just like friends of friends from up here in Georgetown, DC and the surrounding area, like going down to Tampa for Gasparilla. Yeah, like I knew that happened, but I guess I never like fully seen it. And I saw people talking about Gasparilla, the Gasparilla, Gasparilla. So it's always good to have like some Tampa up here. You know what I mean? Yeah, so lovely to hear about all the Gasparilla stories. I'm sure everybody had a very safe and very sober time.
Exactly.
But yeah, James, how is your night going? I know we're so excited about the beginning of Rowdy's preseason. It's happening. The thing is happening. The thing we talk about all offseason is starting. Before any of that, what's going on in your life? What's going on down there?
Yeah, I will say I did go to Gasparilla. Not necessarily sober, but definitely within a healthy range. You know, we're not falling down in a parking lot or anything like that.
That's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, we avoided the problems. But either way, like you said, yeah, we are looking at a really good night tonight in the RBLR sports and specifically the RBLR Rowdies world, because if you haven't seen who we're interviewing already by the name of this episode, like I did last time, I'm not going to give it away. I'm almost certain you've already seen it, but that's neither here nor there. We have an interview, folks, that is just, it's going to be awesome. It's top notch. And I am so happy that we get to do that. But beforehand, we do need to do a little bit of wrap up with a little bit of news, because we were looking at the USL last week. And now we have only a couple more things to talk about before we actually get to our interview later on. Before we do that, I do want to say please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and any major podcast platform. That's where you can find us, of course. And please follow RBLR Sports at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, Reddit, something. wherever you are, we are too. So yeah, with all of that out of the way, Carlos, let's talk about the news roundup that we have in the USL. Again, there wasn't a ton from when we last did this in the previous week to now, but there were a couple of ones, and one that is going to be, I guess, controversial not only for us as Rowdies fans, but controversial for the people who are on the other side of this. Question mark. I'll lead you to take this one away here.
It's a weird one. It's a loaded one. Yeah, loaded, this one's going to be the only one that's probably relevant to you listeners of this fine podcast. Yeah, it was Lawrence Wyke making the move to none other than Phoenix Rising, a great player in his own right. Played two games with us this past season when he was on loan, quote unquote, from Nashville, I believe. Yeah, obviously Lawrence had played with us for several seasons prior to that, jumped around in the midfield, but kind of solidified himself as a really, really solid defender. Played in the back line when he had to. That's how Phoenix has advertised him. So it looks like that might be the way they use him, primarily in the defensive role. Again, great addition for them, makes their team better on the field. But yeah, like you hinted at, James, obviously there was like an incident potentially with Lawrence Wyke when a couple seasons ago when they played at Monterey Bay. Whole weird, you know, thing with some allegations of racial language being used and, you know, suspension being handed down to him, which was then revoked. So whole weird thing. I'm really not here to like break down all of that, because we I'm pretty sure we did do an episode on all of that.
Yeah.
So if you want to go back and then re-listen to that whole time, I'm sure you can go find that. But the point is, a lot of Phoenix fans haven't seemed to have looked past that. So there's actually some tension over there, at least from what we can tell in the Twitterverse, which I guess might not be indicative of the entire real world, but in the world of soccer, it's definitely a good measure of what people are thinking. So something to keep an eye on over there about how that'll develop. Because again, he will definitely make their team better. I'm sure he will play a lot. So I'm curious to see how that kind of dynamic grows out this off season and into the regular season between Lawrence Wyke, the club and the fans who might not be too happy to have him there. So keep an eye on that. Again, makes the team better. The talent on that squad is not what it has been in the past in terms of a championship run, but I think they could very easily compete for a high spot in the Western Conference and definitely make a run in the playoffs with the squad they have. And Lawrence Wyke will certainly help them do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no arguing what he is as a soccer player. Obviously, I think that is, as a soccer team, one of the big things that they're looking at. But as you said, there is the potential problem that the Phoenix fans have pointed out. And I mean, without reiterating everything that we looked at the time, because I don't know that we even ever learned a lot, from our position as not, right. Insiders, we're not journalists or anything. We just have the podcast here. But what did happen was there were the allegations that came out that he said something, which, you can only assume is obviously some type of slur. And then after that, he got the ban, and that was immediately overturned after the Rowdies said, "We don't believe that Lawrence Wyke is culpable here. We don't believe that this happened the way that the player believed that it went down." And I don't know if that means like a mishearing. We never got that information. But the fact that the ban was overturned so quickly can only point to the league at least not having enough information to go with. That's never satisfactory to a player who is on the receiving end of something like that. I can certainly understand it. So, if he maintains his story, and as far as I'm aware, he always had, then I can understand why fans are looking at this and saying, hey, club, what the hell? But they also went on social media themselves. I don't know exactly who they is in this situation, but I did see that the Phoenix Rising, I believe their PR, somebody pushed back on this and said, "We looked into this. We spoke to people. We did our due diligence. We were our homework, so to speak." But, if they ultimately on the end of that were satisfied that this is not going to be a problem, as in, I mean, I don't know if like that means that they don't think that he's going to continue saying slurs. If that is what happened in the past, then I guess that is up to Phoenix to make that decision. And Phoenix fans, obviously, they have every right to react the way that they would want to based on all of that information too. So I'm not here to tell anybody, I guess, what they need to do in this situation, because I really wish we had more information. As long as we don't, then it's going to continue to play out like this. And honestly, if there were a bit more transparency from the league in terms of what their investigation, probably not just this investigation, but what other investigations all returns, then we would all have at least a little bit more information to work with when we're all trying to make our decisions based on everything that has happened here. So Lawrence Wyke to Phoenix is the headline. There are lots and lots of sub headlines beneath that, lots of bullet points, but that is the big one. And we're going to have to leave it there without anything else to go on. So, Carlos, let's move on to the next bullet point that we have, which has nothing to do with Lawrence Wyke or Phoenix Rising, and talk about some Eastern Conference folks here.
Yeah, we're coming back to the home conference. Again, not a ton of news. So this one being kind of second might demonstrate that, but it's still a pretty big move here. Tyler Gibson, a very well-known midfielder, at this level in the USL, spent the last 3 years with Louisville, is now making his return to Indy 11 after having played with Indy for 2 seasons prior to that. He made 50 appearances with Indy, scored a goal. Again, not really a goal scorer by his position. He was incredibly valuable to those Indy squads in his 2 seasons there. Now he's making his return back to Indy. Indy fans are happy about it. And it's going to make their team a little bit better as well in the midfield. again, a guy who has made a name for himself at this level. He's been around U.S. soccer. He actually played for San Antonio Scorpions back in the day in 2015 as well.
That is a throwback name.
Had a season. I just wanted to throw this name in here. The only reason I'm going back into his team history is so that I can say the name Rayo OKC.
Oh.
He played 16 games for Rayo OKC back in 2016. A team that was so funny to keep up with. It's just so weird. Doesn't matter. The point is he's back to Indy 11. And that's going to be a big move for Indy. Makes their midfield a little bit better. Again, I've mentioned their team a bit in the past few weeks. It's not, in my opinion, a team that's going to be competing for like a top three spot, especially based on, you know, the random rise of Rhode Island. But it's certainly a team that can compete. Definitely, I think we'll be competing for a playoff spot. I don't think there's doubt about that. This move, again, will certainly help their cause to potentially fight for a top three spot. I'm going to say more likely top five, top six, but it's a good team. This is a good move for them. A guy that knows their system already, a guy that knows the culture of a club, always good to bring back somebody like that with a bit of veteran leadership to the team. Big, big pickup for Indy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you also for reaching into his career history, because the way that you did actually gives everyone just a little bit of a hint, again, if they haven't already seen who we're interviewing, about who that is, because when our most recent coach was announced, I was on the Scottish soccer Reddit, and people were all like, wow, what a weird move. And I saw somebody in there who was criticizing the Rowdies as, you know, like a place to go and watch soccer. And I was like, hey, man, I do this all the time. I don't think that it's, you know, I think as far as second division soccer teams go in America, we're doing a pretty good job. And he was like, man, I went there. I went to one of those games, and it was against Rayo OKC. And I was like, well, there's your problem. It was a Rayo OKC game. Of course, that is why it was an issue. But yeah, that's a weird little tangent and a weird little anecdote that all of that inspired. Thank you, Tyler Gibson, for giving us something to talk about here that is both good and bad, I suppose. But yeah, there is also a little bit more news related to the signing of some youth players for both Louisville City and Birmingham Legion, too.
Yeah, I just want to throw these in here as well. Again, a slower week, but I think these are worth noting as well. Louisville might have picked up a pretty, I'm going to say pretty big name, but what could be a pretty big signing for them, as they're bringing in a kid named Damian Lass from Austin FC on loan for the year. Damian was the MLS Next Pro Goalkeeper of the Year last season, so he made a pretty big name for himself just in a year in the MLS Next Pro level. Looks like he could be a big pickup. Louisville has two goalkeepers on their roster already, so I'm curious to see kind of where he'll fall on the depth chart there. Oliver Semley, am I pronouncing that right? Might be the guy that could be competing for that starting spot with him. But they also have Danny Fondes on their roster already. So Damian Lass, MLS Next Pro Goalkeeper of the Year, coming in on loan from Austin FC to Louisville. I think it's a little strange because they already had two goalies on their roster, but I'm curious to see a goalkeeper who clearly has talent and clearly has a lot of room to grow. I'm wondering what he'll do in a year with this team, if he makes a starting role for himself or if he's just trying to get experience at a slightly higher level behind, you know, two other goalkeepers. I don't know. I really don't know. It's kind of a wild card. But whenever you bring in a guy that was the best at his position at his division, it should be noted. And I think this could be interesting to keep an eye on. Other thing I want to mention, we're talking about the kids. Birmingham Legion is signing the kids. I just want to mention this because I just saw this pop up on my feed. Finn Calloway, 17-year-old Birmingham native, signed with Birmingham Legion. That's cool. There's not much else to say. I can't really tell you much about him other than that he played at the youth level for an Alabama FC. Can't say I know much about them. I'm sure it's a youth team, and I'm sure they're great. But yeah, he's 17, and he's joining his local professional team. I think that's the dream. That's the dream for USL. That's the dream, exactly, for the Rowdies. That's a dream for, I think, every club in the U.S. to be bringing in kids that are truly, like, talented and playing for them. Only caveat to that is it's an academy contract, so he'll retain his NCAA eligibility. Which basically means like he's not actually getting paid. I think that's something that we've talked about extensively with former guest Georgi Hristov, trying to see like when teams will fully go in and commit to not signing an academy contract with a kid, but going all in and giving the 17-year-old the full professional contract. I don't think we're at a place yet in U.S. soccer whether that's like fully culturally the norm. Right. So I think for now, this is going to be what we're sticking with. But either way, it's good to see the kids getting signed, good to see them getting potential playing time. And I hope we see more of that, not just in Birmingham, but across the league, and especially, obviously, for our Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yep, I totally agree. I think that that is – the more teams that are doing it, the more normal it'll be, and then probably more teams will follow suit. But just to return to the goalkeeper at Louis City, yeah, that is interesting. When we were talking about this before we got started, you said, you know, is this guy going to be their starter? And that is a little bit of a risk because playing last year for Austin FC 2 in the MLS Next Pro division is one thing, but – you know, as a goalkeeper, your development is different because mainly your biggest thing is just how many shots can you face in a high pressure situation and, you know, still save them. Obviously, there's a lot more to being a goalkeeper, especially nowadays. A lot more of them are having to use their feet, and that's probably something that a certain generation of people didn't grow up with until recently. So I don't know if he's part of the first generation or the newer one. Regardless, if they already have other goalkeepers, then yeah, obviously he can compete against them and see if he's ready for that. But just a very interesting move because I don't know, you know, Lou City, I think, has been underperforming compared to what they're used to. And I think that fans definitely would be upset about that. So for this guy to make a step up from what I would say is a relatively low pressure situation in MLS Next Pro as a reserve team for an MLS team to one of the best teams in the USL, let's say. Yeah, that is interesting. And I don't know exactly how it'll work out for him. Obviously, we'll have to see if he even makes the, you know, if he even makes the grade to become their starter. Either way, there is a lot to play out this year. So everyone, we have the interview of a lifetime here to get to. At RBLR Sports, you know, we are always trying to speak with as many people as we can. But how many times can you say that you have interviewed a coach for one of the teams that you're covering? And in this case, it is the Tampa Bay Rowdies. We are talking to Robbie Nielsen, the new manager of this club. And Carlos, I mean, I am so excited to do this.
The big boss. I'm excited. I mean, it really is kind of what we've been waiting for, what we've been hoping for all offseason. And we heard the news back in, what was it, November, of Robbie Nielsen's arrival. Today was the day when he finally got to chat with the team for the first time. Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Everyone, before we get to the interview, I do want to say liking and subscribing is free, but if you need some new threads this year, you can support our podcast just a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the designs we've got cooked up there. There, of course, will be a link in the description. Please check them out. And if you find something you like while you're on that site, hey, there's a promo code for you to use to get 10% off. That is C-O-Y-R, C-O-Y-R as in come on you rowdies. And everyone, here we are with that interview that we have been looking for behind the scenes at RBLR Sports for a little while now. We've been trying to keep it under wraps because we weren't sure exactly when we could do it. But now, everyone, we have him. We have the coach of the Tampa Bay Rowdies, Robbie Nielsen. How are you doing, sir? Thank you for joining us. And yeah, how you doing now that you're in Florida?
Yeah, look, delighted to be here. And thanks for having me on, James and Carlos. It's been a long process. So obviously, I signed in, I think it was the 9th of November. Then I only arrived this time last week. So good to finally be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we are all happy to be this much closer to Rowdy Soccer, obviously. That is what we are all tuning in for, the listeners. And, of course, Carlos and I are very excited to see how things get rolling. So Absolutely. Just before we get into anything, you know, we'll go over all the stuff that's actually related to your background and the Rowdies and everything. But I just wanted to know if you had any Gasparilla stories or maybe you left Gasparilla behind this weekend to get down to business.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't go down. I'm staying kind of at the top end of downtown Tampa, and it was a bit noisy out there, so I didn't bother going down. But I did see a few sights in the streets, that's for sure.
Yeah, Yeah, I think that it is one of the more famous parts of Tampa, but you definitely also get a lot of crazy stuff coming out of it.
Plenty of sights to see around Tampa. I think that's a good way to put it. You can just see stuff from outside wherever you're staying, I'm sure. There's so many characters during Gasparilla. But, James, I know it's a great place to start. I wish we could talk about Gasparilla forever. It's my second favorite topic behind the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Coach Robbie Nielsen, it's a pleasure having you here with us. I'm really, really excited to talk with you about just that, right, the Rowdies. And like you said, you kind of just got here now. It's been official for a little while, but the process kind of just now getting going. We're seeing a bit of preseason content from the Rowdy social media now. Fans feel it. I mean, it's underway, right? For the first time this offseason, it really feels like. So I just kind of want to ask you about that. Today kind of seemed like the start of that preseason officially. From my understanding, today was your first chance to speak to the team as an assembled whole as it stands today. I'm curious, just what was your message to the whole squad today, to the players that are on the roster today going into this preseason camp? The season's not too far away now. What's the message to the team as we get things going?
Well, I managed to speak to them all kind of individually over the last few months. Obviously, when I took over in November, I spoke to Aaron, the captain, and a number of senior players, and then kind of made my way around all the guys and just catching up with them and then checking in over the last couple of months with the players and with the staff. So we've been doing quite a lot of work in the background, to be honest with you, you know, just making sure that everything's moving smoothly for them coming back. So yesterday they had the medicals, so they were all kind of in sporadically over the course of about 4 or 5 hours. So I got to see them a wee bit. But you're right, today was the first time I had the whole group together and we managed to sit down and really just chat about expectations, you know, what we expect from the season, from pre-season, and the objectives for this exciting season. So yeah, it was really good. You know, I think the guys have all come back in really, really good condition. To be honest, I've been very surprised, because although I'd spoken to them and they had programs, it is a really long closed season. You know, it was 12, 13 weeks, something like that. So they've all come back in really good condition, and it makes it a lot easier going forward. You know, we don't really need to bed them in too much. We can almost just get straight to the business.
That is as a fan, I'll tell you, that is really cool to hear. That is awesome that everybody kind of, you know, is ready to hit the ground running, you could say.
Yes, to us, I was a wee bit worried, because generally the pre-seasons are close seasons I've had previously in my career have been, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So the players don't really get a chance to detrain. So it's almost coming straight back in it. But having such a long break, you know, the boys have been fantastic, to be honest with you. You know, they did some testing today, and even the new sports scientist, head of performance, has been really impressed with the guys as well. So, yeah, it's been good. So now it's a case of just, yes, starting to progress the fitness, but also starting to get the tactical side of it. And we've got a couple of games coming up next weekend, closed-door games, that will be the chance to start bedding things in.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's get into, you know, what things are looking like a little bit more here. And I don't want to do an exhaustive, you know, history of your background in the sport. But just for listeners who are unaware, you are Scottish, obviously, and grew up playing mostly for Hearts, I see, from, you know, your transfer market background here. One full senior Scottish cap. So that is absolutely awesome for me. My dad's from Scotland, just to throw that out there. So that is really cool to see. And then, you know, mostly played, obviously, throughout Scotland and a little bit in England that I see. But, you know, what was your, I just wanted to ask if you had much familiarity at all with not just the Tampa Bay Rowdies, but, you know, soccer in America as a whole. Obviously, I think that there are a lot of preconceived notions around the world about America as a country, and especially as it relates to sport and this sport in particular. But, you know, did you have any familiarity with the league system or, you know, any of the other stuff that goes into where the Tampa Bay Rowdies are in that pyramid?
Yeah, to be honest, I did. Yeah, like, you know, there's been a number of Scottish players that have come out over the years and guys that I've worked with as well. So years ago, I played, towards the end of my career, I played with Johnny Russell, who's at Kansas City. So always kept an eye out for Johnny. Same with Ryan Gold as well. And then I had a couple of players that came out. So we had Sam Nicholson and Danny Wilson, both went to Colorado. Mm-hmm. I'd also signed a couple of American players as well. I brought Perry Kitchen over a number of years ago. I bought Ian Hawks and a couple other guys. So I kind of knew the league, I knew the system. I think having arrived and having spoke to Nico, my GM, there is a lot of things that are different, but it's mostly off the pitch. you know, the way the transfers are set up, you know, the way the systems are, obviously, the leagues, the playoffs, all these things. But the actual on-pitch stuff is pretty similar, to be honest with you.
Well, I guess that would be, that was what we would all hope for, you know, something there being a little bit common across the pond. And then I have one more quick question before I turn it over to Carlos, because we'll get into, you know, what everything's going to be looking like. But I just wanted to know if you had been in touch with Neil Collins at all before you had taken the job with the Rowdies, and, you know, if there was any contact there.
I hadn't spoke to him prior to taking the job, but once I took it, I spoke to Neil. You know, and just really to get his thoughts on things. Obviously, highly experienced and did really well at the club as well, both as a player and a manager. So I think it was important to get his feedback on things. So that was really interesting, you know, and got some good information about the club, about the system, and about the players. So, you know, Neil, to be honest, I've known Neil for a long, long, long time, you know, as a player when he was younger. And also, we did some coaching badges together at Largs through the SFA. So, pleased to see him doing really well at Barnsley, and I'm sure he'll keep moving up.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Carlos, I will leave it to you. We got to talk about what's coming up here now.
Yeah, obviously so much to talk about. I'm so incredibly excited. This is the time we're waiting for all year, Coach. I mean, this is the time we've been cramming the offseason with random content to fill it in, but this is the meat and potatoes of it. And I really wanted to ask you, just kind of looking ahead into this season, obviously, you know, James and I can do a whole episode and talk about our thoughts on the lack of promotion and relegation in the United States. But obviously that's a reality here. So that can't be a goal for you competitively at the end of the day to think, well, we want to be promoted at the end of the year. The things we can win, the USL title and the Open Cup. And, you know, there's views about the Open Cup and maybe in England, the FA Cup and the various, you know, domestic cups that maybe have less importance. In your mind, does the Open Cup kind of have the same level of, value for you in terms of competition as like the USL title? I don't know if this is like a controversial question this early on in the offseason or not as much value, but I think a lot of fans have just kind of wanted a bit more out of our club in the Open Cup. So just kind of early on, what are your views on tackling that tournament? And that,
to be honest with you, like for me, it's the Tampa Bay Rowdies. We expect to win every game. So we're going to go into whether it's the USL or whether it's the Open Cup. We're going to go and try and win those games. We'll pick our strongest team to try and win it. You know, it's an opportunity to progress in it, to try and win a competition. You know, things are changing a little bit with MLS and there's some issues in the background with it. But, you know, for me, every game we're going to, we should be trying to win it. And that's what we'll be trying to do.
Great. Yeah, I'm sure fans are absolutely delighted to hear that. It's a good place to be this point in the offseason. And I kind of want to elaborate a bit on your transition to the world of U.S. soccer, because obviously it's a little different here. The rules are different. There's like rules about salary cap that MLS and U.S. soccer as a whole are a bit notorious for. Do you think that transition is going to be or has been easy for you, or is that something that has been kind of a learning process this offseason that maybe is going to take a little bit of time for you? Just the broad, you know, different rules, having to familiarize yourself with a new scouting network in a new country. What has that process been like for you, making that transition?
Yeah, obviously there's areas that it's almost the unknown coming into, but to be honest with you, it's 11 guys against 11 guys on a pitch with a ball. You know, so the actual tactical side of it and the football, the soccer side of it is very, very similar. The game's a little bit different. You know, it's a wee bit more open here, a bit more transitional at times. So, you know, it's getting an idea of that. With regards, you know, the rules and all these things, my GM has been fantastic, Nico Castillo. You know, he's been, you know, kind of guiding me through this. We've got a scouting department. You know, we've got guys that are looking at players for us. So I do need some help with that side of it, because although you can watch the games on Y Scout and on video, which I do, until you actually get a feel for the game in real life, you know, it's difficult to get an idea of, you know, what level of player in the UK is going to be predominantly do well in the USL or the MLS. So that will take a little bit of time, but I'm using the staff I've got at the moment to really kind of guide me through that. But going back to the most important thing, which is the soccer on the pitch,
yeah,
it's very, very similar, to be honest with you.
Sure. And I know James has a question about the tactics as well. He's more of a tactical nerd than I am in that regard. But let me just ask you one more thing. And while we're talking about the, you know, the transfer market and the players out there, we have a pretty full squad as is right now. A pretty good looking squad, as James and I have talked a lot about this offseason already. So I know fans are super excited about that. But, you know, there's still a decent amount of time this offseason to bring in, one, two, three more players. What kind of players are you looking to bring in potentially to this squad, if any more? What kind of traits are you looking to add to this team with the roster that you have available to you right now?
Yeah, well, firstly, I've been really, really pleased with the players that we brought in. You know, I think there's kind of balance here. Some guys that bring experience, having won the championship, Arteaga, and then also some younger ones like Bodley, who I think have got a lot of development within them, you know, guys like that. So the targets we're looking at now, but one kind of senior one, or kind of semi-senior, kind of 26, 27, that kind of age group. And then we're going to start looking at kind of younger development ones that we can bring in that are going to bring that energy, because, you know, when I looked at the squad in the first game, we've got a lot of really good quality senior players, but we didn't really have a lot of young development players, which I think you need at times. You know, you need that balance of the experience, but also the youth and the energy and the excitement. And also, you know, as fans, which I am, you want to see these young guys coming in and getting opportunities and develop and move forward with the team. So I think that's really important. And it's Nico and I have spoke quite a lot about, you know, try to target that market. You know, how do we get these guys at 17, 18, 19, 20? Firstly into the club, then into the squad, and then gradually develop them into the team. So there'll be an area we'll look for one more kind of senior player, but in other areas we're going to look kind of young just to give us that energy, which I think is important.
Great. That's awesome to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, I have actually a ton of questions about that, and I'm sure most of them are ones that you could not answer. But, you know, with your scouting network being what it is, and with that of the people who have already been at the Rowdies, you know, is there maybe any hint about, you know, where you might be looking to sign players? Are you looking to sign maybe younger American guys? Are you looking to go through South America, see what, you know, kind of prospects maybe they have there? Or you know, is it also something where maybe it could be a combination of all these things, and you've got your own scouting network back from, you know, playing in Scotland and England previously, where you could possibly call on people and say, hey, I'm looking for this or that. What is that like for you?
Well, to be honest, we're keen to go into the American market and get these younger guys that have come through. So maybe local players that have maybe missed the boat, as you can say, you know, getting into the MLS or the USL. Also, young guys that are in the next pro that we can maybe look to bring into Tampa Bay and try and develop them. Because I think, you know, some really good young American players out there. It's just giving them that opportunity, you know. And I think that, you know, I've only been here in the country for just over a week, but I've been watching it a lot for a number of years. And then having signed it, the Rowdies looked at it more extensively. And I think there's a lot of kids that, because it's such a vast country, there's a lot of kids there that are maybe not getting the opportunities. And I think, you know, where we are with the Rowdies, we can give them that platform and try and develop them, because, you know, we've got a fantastic training facility, you know, one of the best I've seen, to be honest with you. You know, if you compare that to the teams I've been at, and the team I was at in England didn't have anything to that level. The teams in Scotland, it was probably within the top six training grounds in Scotland. So we have to use it to develop players. You know, we have to use it to help the senior players, but we also have to use it to develop the young ones.
That's, that's honestly, I think for Carlos and me especially, that's music to our ears. You know, we've been talking about this for years, about how I especially think, you know, the USL is such a great platform for players to come in and be able to develop themselves. But I think that, you know, it's taken up, the whole USL kind of needs to get on board with that for it to work out more frequently. And I love to hear that, you know, that's something that you guys are taking into consideration as well. Not that, you know, it necessarily comes down to what we do and don't want, but that is very cool to hear. Along those lines now, I kind of wanted to get more past the players that you're looking to bring in, other than to say, you know, what might you try to implement on the field? What is the kind of style that you would like to have them all playing? Where would you, you know, categorize yourself in terms of a manager and, you know, trying to get the best out of this team when we're going for trophies, whatever those may be?
Yeah, we want to be a team that, that dominates possession, but we want to dominate in the opposition half. You know, one of the key things for us is, can we get a set of halves to the halfway line, and can we then dominate the game from there? You know, we see a number of teams that dominate possession, but they dominate it in their own half, and they don't really go anywhere. So we want to be a team that, as I say, dominates, creates chances, creates overloads. I think fans come to Al Lang, they want to see crosses, 1v1s, shots at goals and goals, and that's what we want to try and do. So, you know, we've got a system that we're going to play, and it'll be our system, and we'll stick to that system, and we'll just develop the team through there. And, you know, I think it's really, really important that when we have the scouting side of things, we say, this is how we play, this is the type of players we're looking for. They then go and find them, we recruit them, and then we go from there. But I'd like it to be an exciting place to come to.
Yeah, that is another thing that a lot of coaches talk about, is that, you know, winning is lovely, and that's something that we definitely all want. But at the same time, it's I don't know how easy it is, because I've never been in this position, of course, but I don't know how easy it is to strike a balance between, I don't know, the practical side, as it's frequently called, and, you know, making sure that there's also like a very fast paced, entertaining possession kind of product out there, because I think that's what a lot of people tend to be looking for when they're looking for an exciting brand of football. And that's what they're, I guess that's what is definitely more known right now as being the most exciting way to play.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it's, you know, play forward, run forward, as basic as that. You know, we want to be, if you've got opportunity to go and attack, we go and attack, and we make sure we do that. So the recruitment process is about getting guys that have got energy, guys that want to go forward. You know, we brought in Bodley, who, you know, I think it was 5 goals, 9 assists. We brought in Arteaga, we've got Jennings, we've got Leo Fernandez coming back, Dennis, you know, so we've got those goal-scoring threats, and it's about, you know, developing them, but also giving them like a platform to go and score goals and attack, you know, and a lot of that comes from the base as well. You know, we've got a strong base, but, you know, giving these guys the freedom. So I'm really excited about it, because I think we've got exciting talent there that's going to go and, you know, win games and do it in a nice style that people want to come and watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll turn it over back to you, Carlos.
Yeah, I know you just mentioned a bunch of those talents we brought in this offseason. Truly a wealth of talent, especially in the midfield area. Fans, I know from personal experience, are so excited to see Leo Fernandez coming back this year.
Yeah.
Especially with his injury last year that kept him off the field during preseason. So here's to hoping this preseason goes injury free, fingers crossed. Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you, I know this might be a little early in the process, especially because I think you were still in the process of figuring out what the team will look like, what the starting 11 will look like on the, when that first match comes around against San Antonio. But I'm curious kind of about the, you mentioned bringing in like younger players. That's something James and I have talked a lot about, especially like utilizing the wealth of talent in the Tampa Bay area. There's plenty of academies that are partnered with the Rowdies, and even, you know, great, great high school athletes that, you know, end up taking the college soccer route. I'm kind of curious to see if that has been something you've thought about at all, about bringing in local youth talent as well into the squad, into the, you know, at a practice squad players type thing. I know we've seen that a bit over the past couple seasons. Is that something you want to kind of continue in your time here, bringing in young guys and eventually giving them some playing time around here in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, 100%. To be honest with you, there's a number of them turning up on Thursday for training. So we have a couple of bounce games over the weekend, and they'll be involved in that. So it'll be interesting to see them. You know, a number of them come from the Tampa Bay area, you know, through the scouting departments and the, you know, the youth clubs that are in the area. So it'll be really interesting, because the guys at the club have spoke about these guys and saying, look, they just need a platform, need an opportunity. So this is them getting their opportunity. They'll be in with us for about a week to 10 days, and then we'll make a decision what ones we keep, what ones we move on.
That's incredible. I know, like, that's something from personal experience, from, you know, having grown up in the Tampa area my whole life, and in high school, that kind of having been a big effort from the Rowdies, having friends and friends of friends of mine that have, you know, had the chance to work with the squad. I know from a grassroots level, it truly does build some excitement around the community. So that's really great to hear. And I'm just really looking forward to that aspect, because I think more than anything else, that excites the kids around Tampa Bay, potential to be a Tampa Bay Rowdy, having a sort of pathway to that, I think is really, really key. So I'm really, really excited to hear that's something that you want to continue to do with the squad.
I think it's really, really important that, you know, Nico and myself have been speaking about, you know, how do we start to build the academy, you know, because, you know, kids that we want to pack out our line. That's what we want to do. We do that by playing, winning soccer matches, but also playing exciting soccer matches. But what we want is young kids to come and dream of playing for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And they do that by coming to the games and then starting in the academy, you know, whether it be 8 years old and then nine, and then they build themselves up and they see that pathway. Look, it's not something that can happen overnight, but we have to start that process. And that process will be, you know, building the teams, you know, over the age groups to try and create that pathway. Because I'm a great believer that, you know, that a soccer club should be in the community. You know, it should be there. It should have, you know, hundreds of kids coming every night to it. And look, only a handful will make it. But what it does is it allows these kids to, you know, one, to get exercise and to get that enjoyment from soccer, but also have that dream and that platform to try and go and get a professional career. So really, really, really important. You know, I started out when I went back to Hearts years and years ago as like the technical director of the academy. And I always believed that it's not just about, you know, the first team, you know, but getting the players through the first team. It's about the community side of it and giving these kids, you know, coming to the games and with a tracksuit and being part of the club is really, really, really important. So, yeah, it's something that we're going to try and build, but we will build, but it will take a bit of time.
That's great to hear. And that was one of my follow-up questions, specifically asking about a future with what Tampa Bay Rowdies Academy could be. And I know one of our former guests on the show and legend of the club, Georgie Hristov, I will be really happy to hear those words from you, because that's something he's constantly touting and preaching is developing talent right here in the Tampa Bay area. So I know that's going to go over well with the fans and as well as former players. So I appreciate that insight from you, Coach.
Yeah, look, we've got a brilliant training ground as well. So we've got to utilize it at night, you know, and get the kids in and try and develop the club as much as we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. James, did you have anything else you wanted to throw in here?
Yeah, well, one thing that I really wanted to talk to you about after you mentioned, especially having to do with, you know, the idea of kind of inspiring the local community and being a big part of the local community. This is something actually that was brought to us by our producer, Eureka, that, as he said beforehand, he had met you at the press conference prior to all of this. And something that he brought up, something that he was actually told by someone, I believe, from a Hearts podcast, was that you're very big on charitable work and being a part of the community in that way. So I just wanted to ask you about that, you know, if you could expand upon what you have done, what you would like to do, and what, you know, what that means to you to make sure that it is a big part of the team to actually get out there and, you know, just make sure that everybody knows that the Rowdies are something that is out there and doing positive stuff for the world.
Yeah, I think it's really important as, you know, as a soccer club, whether it be the coaching staff or the players, that, you know, we're out there in the community and we're, you know, just helping out. You know, it's just something that I think we should do. You know, I think that, you know, we speak about three things, you know, humility, honesty and hard work. That's the mantra that we keep trying to drive forward with the players. And, you know, I think, you know, just helping out, you know, I've done a number of things over the years. You know, it's not something that I like to kind of talk too much about, because it's just me going and doing it, you know. And I just think if I can go and do it, then, you know, I don't force the players to do it, but you hope that by leading by example that they'll come along and help out. And, you know, just giving a little bit back, I think, is really, really important. You know, and, you know, the fans, you know, they pay a lot of money to come, but there's a lot of fans that can't afford to come to these games. So sometimes you have to go there and just meet them and just be a decent person, I think, is really important.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, it is very important. And I was talking about this previously, even if your motivations are entirely selfish, which I'm not saying yours are, of course, but even if they were, then, you know, it would still come back to benefit the club in the end, because of course, like you said, then, you know, at least you're making lifelong fans out of all these people that have been touched in some way by the club.
Yeah, look, I think we're in a very, you know, privileged position as soccer coaches and soccer players, you know, and we have to help out as much as we can, you know, and we have to give a little bit back to the community and, you know, just do a thing, because I think it's really important and, you know, we want to be part of the community.
Well, Coach, I've got one kind of more serious question here and then a couple kind of little fun ones. But before we get to that, I just wanted to know if there was one thing that you kind of wanted fans to know about what you're reaching for, you know, what the expectation is for this season. If there was some, I know you just said your mantra there. So if there was something that you just want fans to take away from this interview coming up on the season, what would that be?
Look, the players are going to work extremely hard and they're going to try and attain, you know, we need the support of the fans to come along. We want to fill our line, you know. We want to try and get that place bouncing every other week and people enjoy it and people to speak to their friends and they come as well. And the ultimate objective is to try and win the championship, you know. We do that by winning the Eastern Conference first and then hopefully going on and winning that. And if we can do that, then I think everyone will be happy.
I would think that everybody definitely would be happy on that. That is absolutely true. Well, like I said, I had a couple of quick fun ones for you. So I just wanted to know, you know, what is your style of coaching on the sidelines? I think that we have seen from different coaches in the past, very animated, very, you know, energetic and passionate. We've seen people who are more reserved, who are kind of keep it in within themselves. And, you know, maybe we don't see exactly how it goes in the locker room afterwards, but what would you say fans should expect to see from you on the sideline?
People ask me this thing quite a lot, you know, what kind of leadership you have. And I have a thing that I say, I think as a leader, you have to almost be like a chameleon. You have to adapt to the situation. You know, it's about getting the best out of people, you know, so sometimes you have to change the way that you lead. You know, you can't be, you know, one way all the time. You know, as I say, if you've only got a hammer, everything becomes a nail, you know. So you have to adapt to the situation. There'll be some games where, you know, you maybe have to be more vocal, but there are games where you have to sit back a little bit more and let the players lead. So, yeah, I think it's a different answer, but that's what I always think leadership is about, you know, how you adapt to the situation.
Okay. I mean, you know, that's probably a more thoughtful answer than I was not necessarily expecting, but definitely a more thoughtful answer than I would have had anything prepared for personally. So that makes sense. Another question that I had for you is, I know that we've talked about the youth level and everything like that, but just as a side note for me, growing up in the household that I did, I was wondering if possibly you were looking to maybe help develop some Scottish youth players too, and if you had any youth loans that you wanted to bring in, anybody from the U21 or the U17 national team, maybe anything like that on the horizon.
No, to be honest, at the moment, I'd like to try and give the American kids an opportunity. You know, I think it's important. You know, as we spoke about, you know, the community and the kids that are in the area, you know, there'll be a number of them coming in on Thursday, training with the first team players and getting that opportunity. So I think, you know, I won't be too keen to go back to the UK to bring players. That's not to say if one came up that was really, really interesting, but it's not a market that we're really going to go and look at. We have to give people the opportunity here.
Well, I think that we will also appreciate that. My last one for you, and this could be, you know, anything. What do you think is going to be the hardest thing to adapt to in Florida? Is it going to be the heat? Maybe, you know, a difference in foods available or drinks or anything like that? I know that, you know, our prior Scottish coach and other people have talked about Iron Brew being a very common thing, but we do at least have that. I know we have that. So what do you think is going to be like the hardest thing for you to get used to down here? Personally, I don't like the heat, but I wanted to know what you were thinking.
I think probably the hardest thing for me will be my family's still in Scotland. You know.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
that's been quite difficult, even having only been here for a week, but, you know, it's part of soccer. You know, you move about, it's an international sport now, so they'll come out and about a month's time, you know, and then they're coming out over the summer. So that's probably the hardest aspect of it. But to be honest, I've done it numerous times over the years as I've moved about, and we're kind of, as a family, we're kind of used to it.
That's awesome.
Well, that was actually, again, a much more thoughtful answer than I was than I was even necessarily expecting out of it, but fair enough. Carlos, you got any more?
James, I have one last question. This is it. This is, you asked about the style of Coach Nielsen on the sideline, his coaching styles, leadership style. Coach, my last question for you, before I think we can start to let you go, is what is your style going to be on the sideline? Can we expect a coach who goes out there in the suit? Are we expecting a coach to go out there in, you know, a Rowdy's hoodie? What are we looking for on the sideline? This is very important. The people want to know.
Again, it'll be different. It just depends what the weather's like. I think over the course of the summer, it'll need to be a T-shirt, but when we need to travel up to Detroit, it might be a wee bit different.
Yeah. So,
there you go. That's fair.
Yeah, just different. Maybe surprise you sometime.
Okay. I like that. Maybe we can give you like an RBLR pillow to wear on the sideline one day. We'll have you up in the podcast over there. That's awesome. Thank you, Coach.
All right. Well, yeah, that's that is all of our questions. You've been extremely gracious with your time. And yeah, like I said, also even more thoughtful than I had preparation done in this document for. So I appreciate everything that you everything that you've gone through with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for your time, lads. I've enjoyed it. And hopefully see you down at Owl Lang soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Nice. Thanks.
And that was our interview with Robbie Nielsen, the manager of the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Carlos, I think that was awesome to talk to him. You know, very insightful. And as I said in the middle of it, it was I had, you know, our doc that you can see here where I've got all our bullet points and questions and everything. I legitimately, my preparation for follow-up questions was nowhere near ready for the level of just how thoughtful it was for him to answer all of them. So it was great for me to be able to speak with somebody like that.
Yeah, super thoughtful guy, very insightful. Hit on a lot of points as well. You know, he mentioned those closed door games coming up. It's pretty fun to start thinking about. We have actual opponents on the horizon. We mentioned about how if you Google, you know, Rowdy's schedule and from other press releases, you've probably seen that we have friendlies coming up against Atlanta and Montreal in the next few weeks. It's good to have that, I guess, like confirmed in some way by our Rowdies head coach. He's talking about development and the, you know, a future potential academy for this team. I mean, he's talking about the community that this team wants to build and how he wants the club to be a part of the surrounding area. I mean, he kind of hit all the high points for me, and it's really exciting to hear that from him because I think it's demonstrating not only his vision for this season, but I think a long-term vision about what he wants the club to look like and what he wants the relationship of the club with the surrounding community to look like. Very, very cool stuff from him. I think I see the vision from him. And yeah, it seems like he's ready to stick around for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that actually is a good takeaway from things too. You know, we obviously have had a coach recently who was here for 5 years total, whatever it was. And, you know, we did the recap in the recap episode in the off season, but I've already lost the numbers apparently. It's hard to, you know, imagine that people stick around for that long at this level. Usually we don't get that, but it seems like Robbie Nielsen has a different idea of what this job is supposed to be. And he seems, at least, you know, at the very early stages, because it is very early, he seems to really want to do a lot of things to make this a different, longer lasting piece of his coaching career. And I'm really excited to hear that as a fan. I think that he has obviously a lot of quality as a manager. So if he can implement half of the stuff that he talked about today, then I think that you and I are going to be looking back on this whenever we get to that point, and we're going to be going, damn, that was awesome. And I am really excited based off of this interview for all of the potential that we see here. But folks, I think that will actually do it for us tonight. We have done some really great stuff over this offseason so far. I loved all of the interviews that we've had already, but this was definitely got to be the top one, just because we're talking to the top man. You know, how much more exciting can it get than that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're talking about the offseason content. We're talking a lot about the content we've used to kind of fill in the gaps when there's not a lot to talk about. But James, we're coming up on that time where there really is things to start talking about. There's going to be closed door matches, which we'll know at least a little bit about. We'll get to see who's playing, who's he's trying out, what kind of systems Robbie Nielsen's using. And yeah, I mean, it's time. It really is time to start locking in here. He's talking about a couple other, you know, potential guys he wants to bring in. He mentioned a veteran they're looking at, right? There's going to be stuff to talk about next few weeks. There's games to be played. There's a few signings to be made. I'm sure there's trial lists to be looked at.
Exactly.
This will be a fun time in the next month or so. And we're getting there. We're getting to the crunch time.
Yep. And if you want to get all of that, obviously, please tune into our show. We will be covering it every single day that we get some news. We will be covering it weekly on the podcast itself. But yeah, it's going to be a fun time. To do a couple of other little things that I want to hit on, obviously, please tune into our RBLR Deportes show as well. We appreciate when you do that. And I am loving the stuff that Santiago is putting out there. It is a really good show. Please tune into our Tampa Bay Sun program when that comes out, because we are getting news there every so often. It is not anywhere near as frequently as the Rowdies, because they have a longer stretch to go before their season actually starts. So hopefully we get some more news and it's not just a trickle as it has been this past couple of months. The other thing that I want to say, guys, if you want soccer, AFCON, Asian Cup, it's going right now. It is awesome. There's also the South American Olympic qualifiers. I don't know if anybody wants to see that, but it's on Fox Sports. So you can see it on regular TV. Great. You know, you don't need the extra subscription services and everything.
Ecuador just dropped the result today, 2-1. They were winning 1-0 against Brazil. But they basically they've almost got their spot in the next round locked up. It's a really, really interesting tournament. It's basically like a South American U23 tournament, but for a variety of reasons, like not all the best talent is there, but a lot of it is. It's a really great tournament. It's fun to watch. Top two teams in the second phase make it to the Olympics. So there's stakes there. It's also like fun fact, like the only continental tournament being played that doesn't have like a knockout round, if that makes any sense. Like it's super weird. Yeah, they just kind of keep playing like group stages and the final group stage until it gets sorted out. Whatever. You should check it out. It's on Fox Sports too. It's fun to watch. Good talent, good young talent. And Ecuador's doing well. So you'll see them hopefully in the next round.
Absolutely. And there will be other tournaments coming up. If anyone remembers our recent episode with Madison Cox of the Puerto Rican women's national team, that tournament is getting started, I believe, later on in February, I think the 20th. So they have to do the last couple of qualifiers beforehand, obviously, and we wish her and them all the best. But we will keep you updated on the international side just a little bit less, because we actually, like I said, it is Rowdy's time coming up here. We actually have Rowdy stuff to talk about. So if you want to hear us do that each week and on all the other platforms that we do it, please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, everywhere. We are at RBLR Sports. I am mostly on Twitter. I am at RBLR James K. Or if you have me on Facebook, please adopt two cats. You can see them on my page. Carlos, what about you?
At Carlos GPA10 on Twitter. I forgot to mention that. Remember, last week we talked about how there's a bunch of random teams down here or down in the Florida like area, Lakeland, wherever. For whatever reason, Loudon is also doing like some training camp stuff at IMG Academy.
Interesting.
And they beat my grandpa's team from Ecuador. Barcelona SC, not FC Barcelona. Barcelona FC from Guayaquil, Ecuador, lost 3-1 to Loudon. Loudon scored 3 goals against the biggest team in Ecuador. It's kind of embarrassing. It's really funny. I don't know if that means Loudon's good, because this team from Ecuador, by the way, played like most of their starters, and there's some pretty big names on that team. I just wanted to mention that. I was tweeting about that yesterday. It's really, really funny. I'm kind of scared of Loudon now, because they were legit playing like a good team. That's random. Anyway, you could have seen that if you were keeping up with random soccer Twitter at IMG Academy. Keep an eye out. There's a bunch of random friendlies happening around the Tampa Bay area.
Wow. All right. That is some good news to keep in the back of your mind if you are looking for any other soccer than the stuff that we have already talked about.
And keep an eye on Loudon, just like I said last season. You never know. One day, I'm going to keep saying that at the beginning of every year, and one day it's going to be right. They're going to be like,
I mean, eventually they have to hit something, right?
Exactly.
All right, and everyone, please like and subscribe to our podcast. Where else are you going to get interviews with the coach of the Tampa Bay Rowdies? Probably newspapers or something like that. But if you want it in your ears and you want it on your YouTubes, and you turn into RBLR Sports, that's what we're going to say. You can get the full experience, of course, on YouTube. And we are also on Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, anywhere you get podcasts. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Robbie Nielsen, for joining us for another week in the book and starting our preseason. Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.